In 2005, I lay in bed beneath the Christmas lights in the loft of our little house in the Catskills, the baby book propped up against my giant round belly. This encyclopedic volume by Dr. William Sears and his wife Martha, a nurse, is the seminal guide to what they call attachment parenting, the controversial approach to raising kids that encourages mothers to breastfeed, co-sleep, wear their babies in a sling, and engage in what they call the 7 baby B's of attachment parenting, all designed in response to an infant's innate need to be close. That made good sense to me, though I knew that many people felt some resistance to this method, especially the fact that it seemed to ask an awful lot of parents, and particularly women. I, however, welcomed the Sears invitation to wholehearted, though some said over-the-top, parenting, and their insistence that when a hungry or an upset baby cries, he cries to be fed or comforted, not to control. And they made it sound so simple. All parents, especially mothers, have a built-in intuitive system with which they listen and respond to the cues of their baby. What would it be like to listen to my baby's cries, I wondered. Would I sink into this magic realm of knowing what to do? I had heard so many stories about colicky babies and tantruming toddlers and parents losing their shit. And I had seen that mom in the grocery store, the one who ignored her crying child. I thought, just pick the kid up. How hard can it be? Well, Dr. Sears says that attachment is an intuitive system. The technical term is a set-goal behavioral system. And, as I have come to understand, we all have it, not especially mothers. Caregiving, attachment, sexuality, affiliation, fear, these are called set-goal behavioral systems. We are all equipped with these whole body-mind organizations that kick in when needed to work tirelessly until they reach their goal. When we lose track of our child and target, there will never come a moment when we say, "Oh well, now that my kids disappeared, I get to sleep in on weekends," and give up on the search. Likewise, there will never come a time when our lost child settles in among the school supplies or wanders off with a stranger, never looking back. Attachment works like fear, which, once ignited, never stops until the threat is gone, or like a state of sexual arousal, which won't rest just because we want it to. When Azalea was 7 years old, she and Thayer were riding a chairlift up a mountain at our local ski area. Lost in a daydream, Azalea missed the spot where she and Thayer had planned to get off, leaving her on the lift without her dad, who had skied off the chair only to discover with a start that Azalea was not right behind him. Realizing that she was alone and her beloved father was gone, rather than wait until she got back to the bottom of the mountain, the next safe place to get off, Azalea jumped. Falling 10 feet through the air, luckily she landed safely on her skis. That's the kind of commitment attachment inspires. That's the kind of danger love incites. Once we get riled up, like Azalea alone on the chairlift, the only thing that slows the caregiving and attachment system's primordial effort is reaching its set goal of togetherness, of safety, of intimate connection, of what researchers so tenderly call felt security. And when that goal isn't reached, we keep searching for it forever. Felt security. It's not up to anyone but us to say when we get there.